Let's move into our study tonight. Very important tonight. So often, one of the things that I hear a few comments occasionally is the technicality of the spiritual love and all, and not too much of the personal things. And tonight is going to be about as personal as we can get, almost right in the parallel line with the study in one another and the impact of these things in our daily lives. Now, we have completed moving into, from our study of long-suffering, some of the things of what long-suffering is, the resilience of this love. Now we're going to look at some of the things of what that means. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at opposition to spiritual love. Surprisingly as it may sound, there is opposition to love. And this is what we're going to take a look at tonight. Hopefully I can finish it all tonight, since we won't be here next week. People, there's opposition to human love. Remember, we have studied three categories of love that we need to understand on earth. One, there is divine love, which is love directly from the essence of God. Two, there is human love, which comes from man. And three, there is spiritual love. Now, there's some common things about all of them, and there are some drastic differences in each. But fundamentally, there are people who want to find different words and make up words that deal with each category, human love and the love that comes from God and spiritual love. And, you know, when someone, I just say it's agape. They don't want to use the word love. And love is just one of those words that is so easily thrown about. But there's something common. There's some common things, or should be, in all of these. So I don't mind keeping the word love for all three categories. Divine love, human love, and spiritual love. Let's talk about human love. I think every one of us know, even human love suffers. Even human love must be long-suffering. Now, most people, so that human love does not have to suffer, do a couple of different placing games. We would call them defense mechanisms under Freudian psychology. They develop defense mechanisms. They, one, just do not love. They will not love, nor will they be loved. And that way they avoid the hurts and pains and the suffering of love. So this is what, we're not here to study Freudian psychology, but there's a whole chapters, if not indeed books, but there are chapters written on just the various defense mechanisms that people will put up to certain things like love to protect themselves. But there's opposition to family love. I mean, how many of you know teenagers that have rebelled against parents that love them? I'm not talking about where the parents have failed. I'm not talking about where the parents beat them, neglect them, all of that. I'm talking about where parents really love them, and they just will not receive the love. They are going to be rebellious. And even in husband and wives. They're, you know, and it's neither one more than the other. There are men that will not be loved, there are women that will not be loved, and that will not love. We live in a very tough time today in the family structure. So there's great opposition to love in the family and romantic love. One loves, one doesn't. We always, used to be a song, we hurt the ones we love. James' brother sang it. Always hurt the ones we love, and it's very true. So love suffers. Even human love suffers. But that's not our subject. Our subject is spiritual love, and spiritual love suffers, and spiritual love has opposition. Now, opposition to spiritual love. I want to say this about it. Because of opposition to spiritual love, God has created love that is long-suffering. In other words, because there is opposition to love, spiritual love is long-suffering. Human love may not be. Human love may be, just on the very nature of the flesh. Some, we traditionally think of it in this realm, mothers. Mothers just have long-suffering love. Fathers eventually, give up and kick them out and fathers do this and that, but traditionally in the in history, we think of a mother as having long-suffering love in the human realm. But spiritual love is designed by God to be long-suffering because of the opposition to it, so that it can accomplish all that it was designed to do. And people, that's the very type of thing I'm trying to point out when I upset people and talk about how God did not give us trust to build our marriages and relationships with or on. Because trust is not long-suffering. Trust is not going to take it. And yet, every human relationship is going to demand suffering. It's going to experience suffering. So God has given to us His love, which is long-suffering. Why is it long-suffering? Because there is opposition to spiritual love. So there is opposition to love. It may sound like a strange thing. Opposition. Why would anyone fight or be opposed to love? Many are opposed to love for all kinds of reasons. Opposed to love. Let's note three sources of opposition to love. Three sources to opposition to love. And we have to always start out in the spiritual warfare. Always, we want to do this so that we can see it and understand it in the human realm. We want to start out with where it really exists. And the one who has one thing that Satan above all things hates is God's love. Satan is opposed to love. We've dealt with this so many times in so many different ways. He is opposed to love because it was by love that God resolved the great challenge by Satan. You recall very quickly, it's God, Satan brings man on the scene, relationship between man and God. Satan comes on the scene, he's jealous of this relationship that comes on the scene with sin. Sin results in death. And so here is man now, alienated from God. Man is spiritually dead, and man is impure, unclean, all those things. And he's in now Satan's kingdom of darkness. And Satan says to God, gotcha. There's nothing you can do about it because you are a holy and righteous God. There's nothing you can do about it. So the great question comes about is, how can a holy God not cast man into a lake of fire? The answer to that question is, the one thing this creature, this creation, Satan, did not plan on, does not understand, and that is God's love. Out of God's love, he resolved the question, and therefore sent his son out of love, which offers life. So from death, we go to life through this person of Jesus Christ, and that's why faith is so crucial. Okay, so Satan is the first to reject and oppose God's love. He is the enemy of spiritual love. He is the enemy of spiritual love. He is the great proponent, and this may surprise some people, Satan is the great proponent of the holiness of God over the love of God. Condemn all, and there's nothing that you can do about it. So the enemy of spiritual love is Satan and all of his words. So, and he can't duplicate it. He cannot duplicate this love. He can duplicate a facsimile of righteousness, but not of this love. Satan opposes divine love. Jesus is scribes and Pharisees. What's the foremost command, Jesus Christ asked him? To love the Lord your God with all your might and all your heart and all your soul. And second to it is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Pow! They can't do that. That's why they emphasize righteousness. That's why they emphasize holiness and doing and works. So Satan is the great one who opposes spiritual love. He opposes divine love and therefore opposes spiritual love wherever it is found. Where is it found? Anytime there is a believer somewhere on planet Earth walking in the power of the Spirit and the Spirit can pour in this love, Satan opposes that. And he must stop that type of love. Okay. So that's the first place. The first place of the opposition to the spiritual love is Satan. Now, Satan is the ruler of what? Huh? Yep, kingdom of darkness. Very good. So, here is the kingdom of darkness, which we will call, for our study, the world. So, the world is against spiritual love. The cosmic system is against spiritual love from Satan. How does this translate into the reality that you and I are aware of in the world? Well, let's talk about it. One, most people's love is you got to earn it. You got to earn love. You got to deserve it. If you don't, you're out of here. Look, you don't respond to my love. You don't do this. You don't do that. So that's it. Goodbye. You're out of here. As opposed to spiritual love, which is what? Unconditional love. God's love is unconditional love. Spiritual love is unconditional love. But in the world, eventually it comes down to, you've got to earn this love. You've got to earn it. You've got to work for it. And boy, we could just spend months on this as far as psychology or philosophy or just all the things and the problems of the world today. Divorces. What's the number one reason for divorce? I don't love them. They don't love me. Love gone, love dead. So since there's no love, boom, let's get a divorce. The world is against spiritual love. It is against this love that is long suffering. The world rejects it. Let's talk about that for a moment. Now, I just touched the first one. I just touched it. You got to earn it, a conditional love that you earn. And boy, we could really get personal in the sense of people's lives and how that comes across. But let's look at another one in regard to all of this, and that is that it rejects this type of love in that what? It makes you look foolish. It makes you look weak. And I want a love that makes me strong. I want a love that makes the person that I love serve me. I love you, therefore you ought to roll over for me. You ought to do what I want. Now, that doesn't mean that if you love someone, you won't do that. We're talking about from the one person's point of view. So, it's a rejecting this love. What have we seen many times? If you love as Christ loves, it will humiliate you often. It will humiliate you. It will make you look like the weak one as far as the world. And people, right in your own home, in a family situation, and wherever, work, church, whatever, most won't even see really what's going on. They're going to see you as a weak person. Therefore, this kind of love is rejected. This kind of love is rejected. And we talk about how the world rejects it because to protect itself, and all the systems of the world just reject this kind of love. It encourages divorce. It encourages all of this stuff. It encourages this Hollywood romantic love, which is not reality. It is not reality. But what the picture is, you get this beautiful picture of romance. If that's not there, then go find somewhere where it is. Go look for it. So they're opposed to a concept of spiritual love as we're studying it. And now we come down, we started off with the first area of opposition is from Satan. The second one is the world. And the third, since we are in the world, I'm just going to use the biblical word flesh. Our own flesh. In other words, inside of us. We can call it the sin nature, we can call it ourselves, but our own flesh. Now, let's talk about that. A very brief point without developing 20 points. I'm talking about why is the flesh against this. One of the primary reasons the flesh is opposed to spiritual love is because the flesh loves itself. And while you may want to deny that and argue, we fundamentally in the flesh love ourselves. Flesh loves self. When flesh loves something outside of itself, it's for its own benefit. It's for its own benefit. Flesh will love another person for its own benefit, and when that benefit is no longer served, flesh no longer loves. So you just got to realize the sin nature, the flesh nature, the cosmic you, the old man, a lot of different words we could use here, does all it just loves self. Remember what jealousy is. Jealousy is the immune system for self. It wants to protect self. And all of these things are about me, self. So the flesh loves self, and every aspect of love is about self. I love you becomes a control. It doesn't become an expression of something in the soul. I love you. And we use that often in a tension situation. We use that to control the other person, to get our way. That phrase will come up. That phrase will come up when a husband and wife, a boyfriend and girlfriend, are in the heat of a tension or stress or a tense time in their marriage and their relationship. I love you. What are you saying? You ought not do this to me because I love you. So it comes now as a control thing. How can you do that to me? I love you. The flesh is against spiritual love. Because remember, what am I talking about here? Something will come to. Look at 1 Corinthians. We haven't looked in the Bible because we've been dealing with principles so much here. I want to show you this and show you what we're talking about. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. I want to show you something very powerful. So let's look at this. Look at verse 5 in the middle. Does love does not take into account wrong? What I'm trying to show you here is that human love considers when wrong. How can you hurt me? I love you. Love doesn't do that. Spiritual love doesn't do that. Spiritual love doesn't say, well, if that's the way you're going to treat me, and how did you treat me because of love, therefore I'm going to back off. See this, we'll come, when we finish what we're going to do tonight, we'll come back and look at what all of this means is and what spiritual love is going to give us the ability to handle all the wrongs that are suffered. Look at verse 5. All the wrongs that are suffered without taking them into account. This is what spiritual love will do. Human love can't do that. Human love, flesh love, has to take into consideration because human love is for self, fundamentally. Fundamentally, it is for self. People talk about economically. Let me give you an example. People talk economically. And there are people who say one of the worst things about laissez-faire capitalism, that laissez-faire capitalism has fundamentally at its heart greed. Well, my first response is this. Pure liberalism, socialism, communism, whatever ism you want in that category, but pure liberalism has fundamentally at its heart greed. Now, what did Adam Smith develop when he did that? He looked at human nature, and it's a perfect system for a world divorced of God, if you please, meaning everybody's not a Christian walking in the power of the Spirit. So I've got to fix up an economic system for that kind of man, as far as Adam Smith was concerned, he didn't consider the spiritual at all. So let's just look at it from Adam Smith's point of view. I've got to come up with an economic system of mankind. Okay? I want a new pair of shoes. Was being very basic as Adam Smith was. I want a pair of shoes. I want a coat. I want that. Now, how can I get that from somewhere else? How can I get that? And we're not even going to talk about crime. How can I get that? Well, what I will do, I will go to the cobbler who can make shoes, and I will say to the cobbler, what I will do for you is I will make you a coat, and you make me a pair of shoes. Okay? It's to my benefit to see what you need. It's to my benefit to find out what you need to get what I need. And that's the fundamental makeup of laissez-faire capitalism, and that's how it's going to work. That's what it's based on. It is based on the basic understanding of mankind. I am caused by the very nature of the system to think about you. I have to think about you to get what I want. And it may be that what I found out what you want is just a good laugh, so I will entertain you. What you want is medical. What you want is, and you know the whole story. I don't need to play a silly game with you there economically. So that's what you do. You think, what does this person need and what can I do for them to get what I want in exchange? Okay, that's the way human love is. Human love is always about me. Human love says, what can I do to get what I want? and I want sex. I want a family. I want a child. I want a home. I want companionship. I want this. I want that. So that's what human love does. That's the motivation. That's the thinking of it. Now, what spiritual love does, though, spiritual love does not consider itself. Spiritual love says, what do you need? What do you need? What is your need? This is what God did for us when we were in sin. What is your need? As your need was to be redeemed from the slave market of sin. So we could spend a long time dealing with our own flesh, work for love, not deserve love. Boy, this whole thing of the flesh and its opposition to love, not deserving of love, is where a lot of Christians have a lot of problems because they're confusing flesh love with spiritual love. I don't deserve love. You deserve love. You shouldn't treat me that way. Do we have to deal with the flesh of others? And you have to work against their flesh, what they're going through. Flesh is a great enemy and great opposition to spiritual love. So the devil is opposed to spiritual love. The world system is opposed to spiritual love. The flesh, your own flesh inside of you, is opposed to spiritual love in opposition. Now what I want to do is take a look at those things, those forces that come and work against spiritual love and beat against it. Now, let me give you a picture of what we're doing. If you can picture, if you will picture, spiritual love as a body, as some kind of a, it's invisible, it's immaterial, but so that we can communicate, let's picture spiritual love as a physical type of form that we can talk about. And what I want you to see is there are things that are beating down against spiritual love. Here's spiritual love poured in by God, the Holy Spirit, when we're walking in faith. And then in our lives, there are things that keep beating against spiritual love, beating against it. And my whole thing I want to show you is, in your personal involvement with each other, the people, family, friends, social life, husband, wife, all these things, is what spiritual love does with all of these things that keep beating against it. Because people, and this is so important, what I used to teach, and what a lot of people believe is, you've got to have doctrine to handle these things, law to handle these things. You've got to have some way, with this one we're going to use law, with this one we're going to just walk away, with this one we're going to do this, and you've got to go through and you work on all these psychologically, mentally, spiritually, and all of this stuff. People will tell you what spiritual love does with them. I'm going to tell you what spiritual love does with you and all of these things. The first opposition, the first thing that keeps beating against spiritual love, number one, most important, I guess, we cannot control our environment. We cannot even control what those close to us do or don't do. You cannot control the environment. One of the worst truths to accept in life. It's one of the basic things that will really help people in life if you give up trying to control others in your environment. Husbands, wives, children, parents, friends, work, church, social life, everywhere. We cannot control our environment, cannot control those who are even close to us. What they do, they aggravate, and the aggravation wears on our love. And what happens with this aspect, it comes down to where people start having emotional problems, mental problems, stress problems. What is stress and anxiety? I can't control my environment. Just can't get everybody to do what I would not be going through this stress if they would do this or not do that. If my husband wouldn't do this, if my wife wouldn't do that, if my children would do what I want them to do, I wouldn't be going through this stress and this anxiety. So the first thing that the beats against spiritual love is, you can't control the environment. You cannot control other people. You cannot control what they do. You cannot control. And so what happens is, without spiritual love, all kinds of things begin to happen, people. And boy, you know it. First of all, things happen in the mind, emotional. I just mentioned emotional, mental breakdown, stress, anxiety. Then what eventually will happen is you separate from these people, you start fighting these people, you become aggravated inside, and aggravation grows and grows and grows, and then finally one day you just reach out with a baseball bat and let them have it, i.e. the apostle, what he did in the movie. You just reach out one day and you finally got to do something. It's got to be handled. And either that or you just, your whole person goes down. Or you just totally separate yourself from them mentally, emotionally, and everything to protect yourself. You don't have to do any of those things. You don't have to do any of those things. Spiritual love. You take this, can't control. We'll just put control. Can't control. Keep feeding them spiritual love. And people, I'm going to build up all of these at the end. Spiritual love is going to take that. It's going to be long-suffering with that. And you're just going to let this keep pushing against it. And it's, what's going to happen is, it is not going to weaken spiritual love. I'll summarize this for you at the end. It's not going to weaken spiritual love. Spiritual love is going to continue. And people, if we could just understand spiritual love and walking in the Spirit, I know we live in a time, we got the cure-all disease, we got the cure-all to this, we got the cure-all to that, and this will do 500 things for you, and this will do that. Spiritual love will do it. If we will walk in the Spirit and let Him pour in this love, it will do it. It can take all these things of not being able to control your environment, and you won't go through the stress, the anxiety, and the ulcers, and all the things that happen to us. That's what spiritual love will allow you to do. This is what God has given to us by giving us the Holy Spirit. So we can say that God is doing it, yes, but how is God doing it? He's doing it by pouring into us this love. And He pours in this love to us, and it just, okay, this love just takes it and doesn't consider the wrong. And just it just sounds like, how could anybody just take this? This is what spiritual love does. It just takes it. A teenager came many years ago in the midst of this area of our teaching and gave me just a great idea. He just walked up and he said, spiritual love is like this gigantic shock absorber in our soul. And I said, it's perfect. He says, you know, the car, the shock absorber in the car is just taking all the shock of the bumps and the holes and all of that in the road, and we're basically just riding along on the top side like this. Unless your shocks are gone, and then you know it. But if you got good shock absorbers, you're just kind of going like this. But boy, inside, they're taking it all. A shock absorber is taking it all while you get a smooth ride. Spiritual love is a shock absorber of not being able to control your environment. And it's not going to weaken your love. Secondly, one injury that places pressure on our love and the long suffering of love on our souls and in regard to spiritual life is when people let us down. When people let us down. When our expectations are not fulfilled. Now, what I used to do with this one is I would start attacking you on your false expectations. I would say, well, you shouldn't have had those expectations. And that became sort of a buzz thing. Well, you shouldn't expect that. You shouldn't expect that. I began to think about that. And we're listening to people hear what I was teaching and using it. And well, just a minute. Just a minute. If I buy a car, I can expect the thing to get me across town. That's not unfair expectation. But it came about where everybody was saying in every relationship, every marriage, your expectations were wrong. It came to buzzword for everything. No. There are things I expect in a marriage. There are things that I expect in a relationship. They're not false expectations. If I buy a car, I expect the thing to be able to drive me across town. Now, if I expect the car to fly, okay, that's false expectations. That's wrong. The car's not going to fly. Not very far. Now, can I expect it to go across the water? No, not unless it's a James Bond designed car. It's not going to go across the lake. Don't try to go across the lake in it. That's unreal expectation. But to expect the car to drive across town is a real expectation. It's not unreal. So let's deal with real expectations that don't work out. expectations with people, expectations with husband, with wife, with all of these things, and the expectations are not fulfilled. We expect someone to act in a certain way. We expect someone to do something. When our expectations are not met, our love is attacked and eventually wears us down. I expect you to do this. I expect you to do that. And the kid just keeps on fighting it, and the wife does, and the husband does. And they're not unreal expectations. I'm not talking about unreal expectations. I'm talking about real ones. And they're not met. Simple, real expectations. I simply ask you, you know, I don't know what in a book, you know, here on tape or anything, anybody's life, or, so I'm just taking things that I hear of over the years. I just simply ask you to pick up your clothes. That's all. Can't you do that? I think what I'll do is next time you leave clothes out, every time you leave your clothes out, I'm going to throw them away. You know, well, then, yeah, your bills go up, and, you know, everything else. Well, I'm going to try this. Well, what I'm going to do is just leave them. Just leave them everywhere you leave them. Well, that won't bother us. Let's just pick on the husband for a while. That won't bother him. Fine. That's what he does in bachelor. That's cool. That's what I want to do. Just leave my phone for a while, too. When I need them next week, I know where they are. And so we do this to each other in life. And I use silly little ones, but they're major ones. In sex, in finances, in romance, in inter-family relationships, the in-laws. So we have expectations that are not met. That beats. That just constantly beats against spiritual love. Constantly beats it. How can I love you? You just, I just ask you the simple things, expect you to act in a certain way, and you just can't do it. And it starts beating down. With human love, it starts beating it down, and it becomes weakened. And you can destroy it. With spiritual love, long-suffering. And it just takes the expectations that don't come true. Third one. What we'll call, I guess for lack of a better word, clumsy mistakes. What we like to use the word stupidity. Clumsy mistakes by others around us. In the home, at work, local church, in life. Yes? They're not sins. They're just clumsy mistakes. And they're always making them. Fourth one. The fourth thing. All of these are things that just keep beating against our love. Beating against spiritual love. And what's spiritual love being? Long-suffering. What's it going to do with all of these? Another one. Number four. Unfairness. It's just not fair. It's not fair that you get away with that. Spouse, parents, children. It's just not fair. It's not fair. You always get your way. It's not fair. And pretty soon the love, human love, will just start weakening and all of that. This marriage just isn't fair. The way things are going just isn't fair. The woman, it isn't fair. She makes the money and can control and all of that. The man, it isn't fair. He uses sex as a tool. It isn't fair. I come home, I provide all the money, and she doesn't want to have sex. Her standpoint, you know? Well, it isn't fair. He uses the money to control for physical relations. It's unfair. It's unfair. What you're doing is unfair. It's not fair in life. And this just keeps beating against this life. And in human love, it eventually just wear it down to where it's not there. Spiritual love takes the unfairness and does not even consider it. We'll study all of it. Long-suffering with it. And it just keeps happening. People, what I hope you're beginning to say in your mind is, this is a bunch of bull. No love can do that. That's what I'm trying to show you. This is supernatural. I'm trying to make this as real now to you as I possibly can. We have moved away from Hosea and his wife out committing adultery. That's tough. Most of us don't have to deal with that. Very few people have a husband and wife that's in adultery all the time or even a lot. But every one of these, in every marriage, in every home, in every relationship, whether you're married or not, in the church, dealing with Christians, these things keep beating. Can this love really take that? What has God given us here? What God has given to us is a love that is long-suffering. It means that it will suffer. People do not misunderstand that. I'm not saying that love isn't even aware of all of this. That's why it's called long-suffering. That's the word. That's why I spent time on the word, the Greek word. We're not saying that love is not aware of these things. Love is not aware of the unfairness in life. And it does hurt you. Now, what happens with that suffering? It can either, one, weaken your love, cause you to become angry, stressed, bitter, one out of the deal, all this kind of stuff. What does spiritual love do with that hurt? It absorbs it so that your love does not weaken. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say here? So that I'll be sure you understand it. You do suffer. I'm not standing up here saying, ah! No, you suffer. That's why the word is long. It doesn't say no suffering. It's long on suffering. This does hurt you. These things hurt you. But what love does, it absorbs it so that it does not affect you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and does not weaken your love for this other person. You don't get distracted by these things. Hurt it. That's what long-suffering does. All right, let's go to the this one. Dishonesty. Dishonesty. Dishonesty in marriage. Dishonesty in the home. Dishonesty. Boy, man, you know, parents that rear their children, I know my mom in rearing us, lying was far worse than anything we'd have done. Don't lie. And she didn't have the philosophical terms, not even really the spiritual terms to put in what she was trying to say to us was, but what she just come down is to the simplicity of, when you say something, it better be true. You know, it was just worse than whatever we did wrong. Don't lie. Just, okay, you did wrong. That's okay. Don't lie about it. Dishonesty in a lot of areas. I use lying there, but we could use dishonesty in the use of money in the relationship. Dishonest in use of time. Dishonest. There's a lot of ways in which people are dishonest. And people, dishonesty just keeps beating against love. And human love can only take so much of that. Spiritual love is this gigantic sufferer, absorber. And it just takes all the hurt that dishonesty brings, and it's absorbed into love. And what I want to remind you is what the other person is going to get now for their dishonesty, they're going to get kindness. And that's going to make you mad if it's not in spiritual love. They don't deserve kindness. You mean with all of these things? Because what we're going to look at is because of the long suffering of love, of spiritual love inside of you being long suffering, SL to LS, because this is going on inside of you, what they're going to get is kindness. Well, then I know I'm not going to be spiritual love because I want them to know I'm mad and I'm hurt and I'm angry and I'm not going to be kind. If I'm kind to them, those people, they'll never know. I want to give them a good dose of what is going on. They're going to get kindness. Do you not know, God says, that it is my kindness that is that brings you, draws you to repentance? Romans chapter 5. My kindness draws you to repentance. But you're not going to be able to have the second impact of spiritual love if the first one isn't there. That's why it's mentioned first. It's fundamental to what love does. Sixth, I'm just using things that I'm trying to build for everybody's everyday life. Incompetence. My wife is just incompetent. My husband is just incompetent. Incompetence in the home, work, social life, church, incompetence. Now, we see ourselves as superior. We see them as stupid. And so our love becomes attacked in this. Incompetent. Incompetence often leads to what? It leads to what? Humanly speaking, no respect. If you deal with incompetence enough, you just lose respect. You lose respect, no love, boom, it's gone. What protects you from all of that? What protects love, spiritual love, from the incompetence of others and breakdown of love between them, love is long-suffering. It just takes people's incompetence. People, how much does God have to deal with us in our incompetence? You may be very competent in all the things that people around you are incompetent in, that you get very aggravated, very angry, and it hurts your love relationship with them. Now let's go to you and God. You think you measure up so well before God? No, we fail all the time. What we're seeing is how God has to be all these things to deal with us. If God's love is not long-suffering, and how incompetent we are in walking by faith, you know, I'm not going to put anybody on the line, but both here and on faith and all. When's the last time you know for sure that for 60 straight minutes you walked in the power of the Spirit, simple by faith? And it's as simple as walking by faith is. When's the last time you can say, for 60 minutes I did it? It's tough. Well, people, if God's love wasn't long-suffering, He'd just say, you know what? Talking to each other in the Trinity, those creatures we created, they're the most incompetent little things we've ever come up with. Let's start all over. We really blew it here. They are incompetent. They can't even walk by faith. But His love is long-suffering. And so He keeps dealing with it all our lives. Why? Because His love is long-suffering. So, just deal with it also with God in His relationship with you. Seven, deceitfulness wears against our love. Deceitfulness wears against our love in the home, social life, and church. And when I say home, I mean family. And when I say family, I'm not just talking about husband, wife, and children. I'm talking about in-laws and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, the whole family concept. Deceitfulness. You know, I just don't love them. They're just deceitful and da-da-da-da-da-da. No, spiritual love. We're walking by it. Spiritual love. This deceitfulness. Be spiritual love. It's absorbed without death. Hear that? So deceitfulness. What does spiritual love do with it? It absorbs it. It does not consider it in regard to love. Okay, let's go to number eight. I guess with number eight, I'm just going to call it the sin nature of others. That's their sins. Now, some of the things we talked about are sins, but let's face it, some of the things we talk about are not necessarily sins. You know, like clumsy mistakes, stupid mistakes, incompetence. Those aren't from the sin nature. They just aggravate us like it's a sin, but they're not from the sin nature. So I want to make a special category here, just the sin nature of others. People sin. And the sin does affect, if not, we might argue, do we sin against one another? I say we do, but let's say you are of that opinion, no, we do not, we sin against God and only God. Fine. Your sin does affect your relationship with others. And it is just amazing how other people's sins wears or challenges our love. I'm just not going to love them. They sin, and I'm not going to love them. And so instead of love, what I want to do is I want to go to law. I got this thing between law and love. And so I want to go to law. Why? Because sin of others just keeps beating against us, beating against us. What is the whole deal in this thing about forgiveness and love? Okay, brother comes to you seven times in one day. That means every 2 hours, if we take daylight, every 2 hours he commits the same sin against you, seven times he comes to you. It's the sins of others. And they can just wear you down. And they can wear you down, people. Sins of others can wear you down. And just weaken your love and just say, I don't even care, I'm out of here. Spiritual love won't allow that. Think about it. What if God didn't have spiritual love? The long-suffering of love. And our sins. I mean, how many of us would have made it past, you know, I'm just picking an age, we could talk about 5 or 6. How many of us would have made it past 12 years on earth? None of us would have made it. And then let's jump to life. How many of us would have made it through 3 or 4 years of adult life? If not long-suffering in regard to our own sins and our own sin life. Love is long-suffering. And what God has done is giving that love to our spirit. He's made our love long-suffering to the sins of others, so that the sins of others, while we are aware of the sins, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. We are aware of the sins, and the sins cause us to suffer. It does not weaken our love for them. It does not weaken our love, and we're seeing what love will do. What love will do is be kind. Kindness, as we're going to see, is their restoration. It's going to do things. What I want to show you is all these things beating against you, and what love is going to do is, we're out of time, so I'll just tell you what we're going to do, and we didn't finish this, so we'll come back here because this is so important to me, but what we're going to see is what love is going to do. Let's say somebody sins, or let's say somebody keeps hurting you in various ways. Why are they doing that? What's going on in their soul that they need? See, what spiritual love does, what spiritual love does most is the sin of others. It's the sin or failures of the people. He stops here and concentrates on what they've done to me. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. What spiritual love over the sin, it's over the sin, because it's affected. So react. It's not affected. It looks over the sin, looks over here and sees the need. What is this? Implicitly, cannot walk in the Spirit and encourage my Lord to walk in the Spirit. But then talk about other things. What's the need? There's a lot of that. If it's not wrong, just stop it down. It's here. It's that end. And what can I do? What's the need that I need to meet that I can do and help? Restore, encourage, all the things you studied in one another. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's go to verse 10. Heavenly Father, this is just boggling to the mind. This just contradicts, Heavenly Father, so many things that we've learned all our lives. Think about life. But then again, the cross goes against everything we understand from human understanding. We're going to have to get used to a love that we do this. We have to think about it. Do we want this kind of love? And sometimes, Heavenly Father, we may just have to pray to you, give us the desire to desire this love. Because indeed, our love is broken. This love is just beyond understanding, as Paul says. Father, we are so appreciative, though, when we start walking in this love and we see it start happening in our souls, in our own lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our relationships, when we start seeing the impact of this love. It just brings a smile off our face. That love can do that. Father, we pray that you'll allow us more and more opportunities to see the impact of your love in our lives. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.